All right, thank you, Pastor. Open your Bible, Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we'll look at verse 45. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Gospel of Mark, 6:45. If you need a note paper, these men are passing it around, pencils, whatever you need. And I'll give you a good quick outline here this afternoon before you get too sleepy, and then we'll be finished. But it has been a joy be back at Anchor Baptist Church. I forget now, this is my fifth time, sixth time. I'm not sure. I've been coming here a long time, several years. And it always just seems to get better and better, preacher. I don't know. There's something about it, the nostalgia or whatever it is. But it has been a joy to be here. And as I predicted, it's gone by so quickly. We just got started Wednesday night, and here we are at the end. But I'll be looking forward to being back with you again next year if the Lord leads and His will be done. But until then, let's just keep serving the Lord, all right? And look for His coming. And thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness. And many of you have not missed a service, and you've been here for everything. And I appreciate that, and I'm sure others would have been here had you not been providentially hindered. But it's been good to have you, and the attendance has been great, and everything's just gone well. And pastor and family, as always, has just opened up their home and family. And, man, they treat me so many ways. They feed me and feed me. And it's just unbelievable how wonderful they are and how we love them and thank the Lord for them. And my wife, she's at home, but we can FaceTime. And she can talk to all of them. And she's been here before, too. And she knows all of them. And so it's always good for her. She loves these people especially. And we do too, and thank you. And thank you for the love offering that you've given. I used to tell folks that I'd rather preach than eat. Now I tell folks I have to preach to eat. That's the way I make my living. And so whatever you've given will be a help to Mrs. Jones and I in our ministry, and we deeply appreciate it. And thank you again for your kindness and your hospitality and all that you've done. Please pray for me. I leave tomorrow by train, go back to Dublin, Lord willing. And spend the night, and then early Tuesday morning, we'll go to the airport and go through all the hassle, you know, and all that goes with it. But hopefully be on the plane by 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, headed back to the, across the pond, back to the homeland. Amen. So when you pray, if God brings me to your mind, please remember us in prayer. Will you do that? All right, Mark chapter 6, let's stand to our feet. We'll read our scripture together. Mark 6 and verse 45. 6:45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Now that's Jesus. He didn't go with them. He's up in the mountain praying. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them. He saw them. Did you know he sees you? Did he know where you are? You know, he knows exactly where you are right now. He sees you just like he saw them. And he sees me. And he sees all. Nothing hid from the Lord, is there? And so he saw them, and they were toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. For our text, verse 48, notice verse 48, the phrase, and he saw them toiling in rowing. Toiling in rowing. And this evening, afternoon, I want to give you just a short outline on this subject. Keep on rowing. Keep going. Keep rowing. Don't stop. Don't let the devil, don't let anything hinder you. There is just a little time as we preach this morning. Let's keep on rowing for the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these folks. Thank you for the wonderful time we've had already, the sweet fellowship, the wonderful meal. Now just bless in the next few minutes. Help folks to stay alert and awake. It's very difficult this time in the afternoon, so help folks, and may we just have a good time together. But you speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, be seated. And the message, of course, is keep on rowing. Now, this incident took place immediately after Jesus has just fed the 5,000 men, not counting all the women and children, estimated about 20,000 he fed. And so the disciples, like many of us, they had already forgotten the miracle that had taken place in the feeding of those 5,000 people. And their hearts were hardened in unbelief. In other words, they just had forgot it, didn't even think about it. So Jesus constrained them. He said, now you get into the ship, you row to the other side of Sea of Galilee while I pray. But they ran into a storm. And you keep in mind that there's going to be some storms in your life. As we row, as we keep serving the Lord, as we keep trusting Him and all. I've never told anybody, well, if you get saved, all your trouble will be over. That is not true. All of us know that's not true. You cannot banish away troubles and all of those kind of things. But here's what I do tell folks. If you get saved, you'll have somebody to go with you during your toiling, during the winds, during the storms. You've got somebody there to comfort you, somebody to lean on, somebody to trust. And you know, Satan loves to set traps for us. And he wants us to slip. He wants us to make wrong decisions. He wants to hurt our testimony, cause our faith to become weak. So this trip across the Sea of Galilee should have taken them about 2 hours. But as they are rowing, that strong wind came up against them. And now they have been rowing for almost 9 hours. As they are now in the fourth watch, it says. The 12-hour night was divided into four watches. The first watch was from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock in the evening. The second watch was from 9 to 12. The third watch was from 12 to 3. And then the fourth watch was from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock. And so they're in the fourth watch. They've been toiling a long time. And so the Bible tells us they were toiling in rowing. That means they were exhausted. They're about done for. They're about ready to quit. They're about ready to throw in the towel. That strong wind blowing against them. And of course, the darkest hour, as you know, is just before dawn. And so they're in a dark hour, dark storm. But you know what? We learned this lesson. It teaches us that there are going to be strong obstacles. I told you before, they're going to come up against you. And as you roll through life, don't expect things to get this ookie dookie, hunky dunky, and all that kind of stuff. It is not going to happen. But the Lord wants us to keep on. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. You see, when you get saved, when you trust the Lord as your Savior, I trust through the Lord, April 20th, 1949, He came into my heart 70 years ago. I've been a Christian. I've known the Lord as my Savior. And you know what? I started on a journey at that time, a journey to the Promised Land. And that 70-year span, you can bet I've had some difficulties. You can bet I've had some troubles. You can count on it that there's been problems. And sometime the rowing, it was like toiling. I was toiling. Didn't seem like I was going to get through this storm that was there. It looked almost hopeless. You ever faced a storm like that? Storm in your life. It just looks like I'm not going to make it, Lord. I can't do it. I'm done for. The Lord just says, keep on rowing. Just keep on rowing. Keep on rowing. Hey, look. The Promised Land is just a little ways away. And so we got to keep at it, right? Now, they were in their darkest hour just before dawn. And today, no doubt, we're at the fourth watch in our lives. And He knows where we are. He knows what's going on. So the Lord just wants us to row. All right? Here's our outline. 5 points real quickly. Write them down. And I'll have some sub-points. You'd like sub-points? Not only the main point, but I'll give you 3 sub-points underneath each one of these. And my first point is, keep on rowing. Why? Number one, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, just like He came there in verse 48. He saw them toiling and rowing. The wind was contrary, and He came to them in the fourth watch. First of all, the first point is, He's coming soon. Jesus is coming. Number one, He's coming soon. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says, this same Jesus you've seen go away, So come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. He is coming, and He's coming soon. Any moment, He'll come. We have been preaching that for a long time. They have preached it before I preached it. Paul, the apostle, preached it 2,000 years ago, but you can put it down. It's going to come to pass, just as sure we're here. And if you're not careful, your heart will grow hardened, just like these disciples. You'll forget what the preacher told you. You'll forget that he is coming. But he's coming, and he's coming soon. Number two, he's coming suddenly. Soon, and he's coming suddenly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, how does a thief come to your house? Does he call you up on the phone and say, look, I'm going to rob your house tonight. Make sure you have the window unlocked and the door not locked because I don't want to have to beat it in. Is that the way a thief comes to your house? Oh, no. He comes when you least expect it. He slips in when you don't even know that he's going to be there. Well, that's the way the Lord says. I'm coming as a thief. I mean, no announcement. There won't be, hey, everybody, Jesus is coming. They won't be there. When you least expect it, the sudden return of our Lord, he's coming. He's coming suddenly. Three, he's coming with a shout. Coming suddenly, coming with a shout. With a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a, say it, shout. He's coming with a shout. So he's coming, and he's coming right away. And so he's coming with that shout. Now, what does that mean? Well, it may be in the fourth watch. It may be in the first watch. We don't know what time the Lord is coming, do we? Watch, you need to be ready. And we are to be listening. What does it mean when the Bible tells us that he's coming with a shout? That means we need to be ready. Keep working, keep toiling, keep serving, don't give up, whatever, but be busy until he comes. Doing what? Soul winning, witnessing, passing out tracts, helping the church, helping your people. Oh, sure, you got to work your public jobs and all of that. We all do that and everything. But you keep on and just keep on serving the Lord. All right, number two, not only is he coming, Jesus is coming, but number two, keep on rowing. Jesus is conquering. Conquering, C-O-N-Q-U-O-R-I-N-G, conquering. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. First of all, first sub-point, Jesus is conquering in the storms. He conquers in the storms. These men were in a storm. They've been toiling 9 hours. The wind's blowing against them. Ah, but Jesus comes passing by. Not by chance, amen, because he knew where they were, and he knew they were toiling. And you know something? He's there because he has power to conquer the storm that they're in. And by the way, he's got power to conquer the storm that you're in today. You say, preacher, I don't see how. I do not see how this could work out. That's what you think. Oh, it could be worked out before dark, amen. God knows how to work things out, friends. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've been to places where I thought, this is it. I'm done for. I'll never make it. The Lord come. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what God can do. I tell you, listen, he can conquer the storms. And not only that, number two, he can conquer in sickness. Sickness, right? Oh, have you ever heard of so many people sick? Oh, there's so many folks sick today. And you'd think with all the medical discoveries and all the pills, man, we got pills. We got a pill to get you up, pill to get you down, pill to make you smile, pill to make you cry, pill to make you jump, pill to make you sit down, pill, you just name it, friend, you got a bad problem, we'll get you a pill. Amen. Well, you'd think there'd be a cure for everything that's going on today. Instead, well, there's more people sick today than ever before. With all the research that they do, all these hospitals are constantly researching medical and all of that. You know when, what, friend? You know who can conquer your sickness? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Friends, I'm glad we still have the great physician. Amen. It doesn't matter what you've got. It doesn't matter what it is. He has power to conquer. And if he doesn't, so what? Let's go to heaven. Amen. You got a deadly disease and he doesn't conquer it? What's wrong with going to heaven? Huh? Is there anything going wrong with going to heaven? Oh, no. Wow. Wait till you see. You'll say, wow, I never dreamed it'd be like this. It's going to be wonderful, I tell you. So he can conquer the storms. And number three, he can conquer sinners. Sinners. You know what the Bible says? He can save to the uttermost. Amen. Them that come to him. Makes no difference who you are. Makes no difference what you've done. He waits with his arms outstretched, says, come unto me. Come on here. Bring your burden to me. Oh, Lord, you couldn't carry my burden. Oh, come on. Bring all your burdens to me. Well, I'll bring part of them. No, bring them all. He wants you to bring them all. Don't hold back any. And the Lord doesn't say to you, no, look, I can forgive some of your sins, but there's some that I can't handle. He says, bring them all. Amen? Bring them all. He can cure, brother. He can take care. He can conquer a sinner. I have seen it in my ministry over and over and over. Again, I could write books of some of the most wicked, vile, ungodly people you would have never dreamed anybody could ever change like that. And you know what? One day they heard the gospel. And right then and there, their life was changed. They turned from their sins, put their trust in the Lord. I've seen it. And their whole countenance and everything about them changed. Wicked, they would have killed their own mother. And after that, they became the sweetest, kindest, most people you would. They wouldn't hurt a flea. I've had them stand by my side and work with me. And they were the most precious people. And they'd show me pictures every once in a while to remind them of what the Lord had saved them from and how wicked they looked and vile they looked. I'm telling you, he can conquer sinners. Amen? He can conquer to the utmost. All right, point number three. Keep on rowing. Jesus is not only coming, he's not only conquering, but number three, he's comforting. Jesus is comforting. Keep on rowing. He'll comfort you, right? Comforting. First of all, number one, he comforts those who are afraid. Afraid. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. He's the God of all comfort. Now, a lot of people can comfort me. I've had problems, discouragements, and I've gone to different people, and they've comforted me. My wife's the best. And when things are really bad, I'm really down, my wife, she can comfort me. But you know, there's sometimes she can't. And there's sometimes others can't. But you know who can? You know who can? You know who can? Well, that's my Lord. He's comforting. He comforts. When I'm afraid, oh, I've been afraid. This is a fearful world. Man, it's a wicked world. Whew. All around us, there's dangers. You never know what's going to happen next. I mean, you hear all this shooting going on. Well, it's nothing. You know, somebody might walk in this door here someday and blah, 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 and blow us all down. You never know. But you know something? The Lord, we're not afraid. We don't sit around and shake. We're all again. Why? We're in the hands of the Lord. Amen? We're in the hands of God. Be a good comfort. The Lord is with us. And not only does he comfort those who are afraid, he comforts those who are aggressive. Aggressive. A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. Aggressive. He comforts those who are aggressive. I love to be around aggressive people. I mean, but that people that are eager to serve the Lord. Amen? I mean, even though there's obstacles, they're still eager. I love to be around your pastor. He's always got something going. He's always thinking. He's always praying. He's got a vision. He's looking. He's eager to see his church grow, to see lost people saved. Oh, don't you like that? Don't you like to be around people that are aggressive? Just keep on rowing. Amen? I love to be around aggressive people. And then number three, he comforts those against. The word is against the kingdoms and obstacles that we face. Against the kingdoms of this world. Did you know one day the kingdoms of this world, and there's a bunch of them. One day, though, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? He's going to conquer every kingdom. Everyone will be put down. Wow, what a day that's going to be. Jesus will pull down all kingdoms. Hey, just keep rowing. Keep rowing. We got just a little ways to go. Number four, Jesus is coming. Jesus is conquering. Jesus is comforting. Number four, he is caring. C-A-R-I-N-G. Jesus is caring. When? Number one, when we struggle. He cares when you struggle. Are you struggling? I'd say some of you are. You know, these disciples have been rowing all night. They've been struggling. They were tired. They were weary. Are you tired and weary? Yeah, struggle. But Jesus came passing by. I told you, he knew where they were. He didn't just accidentally, oh, there's my disciple. No, he had his eye on him from the time he was up there on that mountain. He knew them. He knew where they were. And praise God, they were not alone. Rowing, toiling. Oh, it was so hard. But he came to help them. And that's what he'll do for you. That's what he'll do for me. When we struggle, he comes to help. He's here to help you today, brothers and sisters. No matter what you're struggling with, it may be finances. It may be some sin in your own life. It may be family problems. We could just go on and list and list and list. Oh, yes, there's so much struggle today. Makes no difference. Makes no difference. Jesus is there to help you through your struggle. Amen, amen. And keep on rowing. He's caring when we are sad. Sad. You sad? I look out over your audience every once in a while. I'll tell people, if you're saved, notify your face. Right? People look so sad sometimes. You know, when they go to church, look like they swallowed a curtain rod or something like that. They look like things have gone wrong for them. But no matter what you are, no matter the struggle, when we are sad, it's a sad world. Oh, it's a sad world. Man, every time. That's the reason I don't listen to the news. That is the saddest story you could ever listen to, is the news. If you want to go to bed with a nightmare, just watch the news before you go to bed. Amen? I don't want to. That's the reason I don't watch it. I try to keep up with the headlines once a day, but that's it. You know, it's a sad world. I mean, it's a world all around us. People are sad and troubled and heartaches and all of this kind of business. And then sometimes myself, I get sad. You ever been sad? I get homesick. I've been gone 10 weeks from my wife. And I have children and grandchildren and loved ones and preacher friends and everybody. And I miss them. Sometimes I get homesick. Do you know what homesick means? I mean, anybody here ever been homesick? Oh, man, it's awful. There's no cure for it. The only cure for homesickness is go home, right? And when you can't get home, you have to stick with being homesick. But you know what I found out? I got somebody there cares for me. Oh, yeah. I can get sad. I can get lonely and all of that. But, you know, I got somebody. I'll guarantee you he'll cheer me up. And I found out the best way to cheer me up is just I like good gospel music. I love to hear singing. I love all that. And so I'll turn on old YouTube and I'll pull up one of them good old gospel songs. And it won't be long. I'll be dancing around the hotel room hollering, "Hey, man, praise the Lord." Forget about being sad, you know. I'm telling you, he cares when you're sad. And then something else, he cares when you're sick. We've already gone over the sickness, but I love the song that says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever." What's the rest of it? "No one ever. So kind and true. No one else could take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for you." Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you know, Jesus will be there to help you. He cares for you today. And he will never let you down. If you're sick, you got an incurable disease, it makes no difference. He'll never leave you. Isn't that wonderful? He'll never leave you. He'll never depart from you. What a promise. How wonderful. And then last of all, keep on rowing. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Remember the song? "Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today. Calling today." When is he calling? Who is he calling? Number one, he's calling sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. Keep on rowing. Why? Jesus is calling sinners to repentance right now. Again, if you're lost, you've never trusted the Lord, will you right now turn from your sins? Ask Jesus to come into your heart, save your soul. No one else can save you. No one. Only Jesus. and you will be forever banished from God and from that wonderful home in heaven if you do not receive Christ as your Savior. Oh, he's calling sinners. Today's the day of grace, isn't it? Today's a great day of mercy. He's calling sinners to repent. Repent, sinners. Get right with the Lord. Because as I preach this morning, the day will come you will not be able to. It'll be over. So Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. Number two, saints to revival. Saints to revival. Jesus is calling the saints. We need a revival, don't we? And this pastor has prayed this week, and his family, and you all have prayed that God would give us a revival. And I think he has. I think he's stirred our hearts, the ones that were here. And that's what we need. We need an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, prayed down, preached up revival meeting, right? And the Lord has given us. I believe he's done that for us this week. And he's answered our prayer. And he said, and the promise in the Bible is, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, that's number one, humble themselves, number one, and pray, number two, and seek my face, number three, turn from their wicked ways, number four, here's what he'll do. He said, then will I hear from heaven, number one, and I'll forgive their sin, number two, and I'll heal their land, number three. We can have revival today. We can have revival in your home. You can have revival in your church. You can have revival in your city. Jesus says we can do it. What will it take for our country and our homes and our families to get revived? What do you think? Oh, there's so much awful things going on and sin and all. Hey, Jesus is calling saints to revival. Less so, Jesus is calling servants to rejoicing. Servants to rejoicing. If there's anybody on the face of the earth got something to rejoice about, you know who it is? Me and you that are saved. Right? Oh, why should we go around with a sad lip all the time? Why should we go around with our head down on the floor? I mean, listen, we have something to shout about. We've been born from above. Jesus lives in our heart. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Hey, we're headed. Keep on rowing. Keep on rowing. We have been born again, which means we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. Let's rejoice. Let's keep on rowing. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Conclusion. When Jesus passed by those disciples out there in that ocean, those disciples cried out. And you know what Jesus did? He got into the boat. And immediately the sea calmed. And immediately they were on the other side. Immediately when he got in the boat, they were on the other side. Who knows? We've just got a little ways to row. And guess what? We're going to be on the other side. Amen. You'll be on the other side. Just keep growing. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. And God will help you. Father, thank you again. It's been a wonderful time. Oh, how precious. Seems like such, even more so than ever, right here in this church. These good people, how we love them. How we pray for them. Thank you for this man of God that you sent here to begin this work. And now look how it's flourished and all. Oh, Lord, continue to bless. Continue to help them. And may they just keep on rowing, even though it's toiling and troubles and, oh, so many things that Satan puts up. But, Lord, we just keep on. Bless now. And bless us as we leave here today. And may your will be done in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Hey, while you're there, grab a song book and we'll sing a song before we go.